Hey, everybody! It's your girl, Jessie Mae Peluso, and the Sharp Tongue Podcast. Welcome. Welcome back. After a week, here we are. I'm in a bathtub. Yes, folks, that is not studio-created sound. That is the sound of me washing my pussy in a bathtub. Oh, my God, I shouldn't say pussy so early in the podcast. Fuck it, whatever. I'm here to keep it real with you. What do you want from me? I'm going to give you my best. And my best comes with a vagina. A vagine. Welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm excited to be here in this bathtub. This is where I'm excited to be. I'm in Chattanooga, Tennessee, filming something. I can't say what, for who, or how, or when. Well, when, you know when. When is now. But I'm excited to be here in this cute little town. I'm in the most adorable hotel, and I'm having a fun time. I am going to be, speaking of fun time and you deserving to have a fun time, I'm going to be, can you hear my feet on the bottom of the tub? Some of my, listen, my favorite places to fart, there's a lot. One is an elevator just for the proximity to people, especially if it's a quiet one. You can't always count on what's going to come out of that little pooper shooter, but sometimes like a little quiet fart in an elevator can just bring a smile to your face. You need to bring a smile to your face as well as to other people's. But my second, close second place to fart is in a bathtub. Because it's got such a duck. It's like, and then it reverberates off the walls. It's great acoustics for flatulence. It's all I'm saying. But back to having fun and you deserving to have it. I am going to bring my crazy ass to Hard Rock Casino in Atlantic City, March 19th, 20th, and 21st of March. The Hard Rock Casino in Atlantic City. Come see your girl at the Howie Mandel Comedy Club. There. Oh, I just burped. I'm gross. God, I'm trying to keep it really cute, but there are just noises coming out of me. I'm naked in a bathtub. There are a couple weird scalpel sites to get tickets. So you can go to jessiemae.com. And go to my tour page, jessiemae.com/tour, and check out the ticket links there. You can buy tickets. I'm also going to be in Kent, Washington, up in the Seattle area, March 23rd at the Shorewear Center for the Lemon Haze's Uncanny Comedy Festival. I'll be there with Hannibal Buress and a couple other amazing comedians. So check that out. It's going to be a fun festival. Bring all of your cannabis goodies. I take donations. I also will have a merch tent set up where you can buy some apparel. I will have my weed boxes and my jars and my grinders that I have co-collaborated with Hakuna Supply to create for you guys. If you go to hakunasupply.com/Jessie Mae, you can get all things Jessie Mae. I've got an amazing stash box made out of real wood that they've created for me. My face is on the box. My face is also on a blunt. Dreams come true. I made it, Mom. I'm on a blunt. I also have a stash jar with my face on it. A couple different sizes of those stash jars. And I have grinders. Happy Weeds Day grinders. I also have a hilarious rolling tray for you to put, you know, whatever you want to roll. It can just be herbs and spices or marijuana. Whatever you prefer, you can roll it right on that tray. 100% wood. A portion of the proceeds from our merch sales will go towards the World Wildlife Foundation. This is through Hakuna Supply. They also have a foundation they support in Southern California that helps bring some resources and aid to our homeless veterans in this country, which is just an epidemic. Shout out to anybody who's actively serving military or are veterans. You guys and women are true heroes. So check that out. And also a portion of anything you purchase from me, show tickets, merchandise, anything thereafter, a portion of that will go back to the Alzheimer's Association and Hilarity for Charity, who help bring awareness and aid to those diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, which is a disease I lost my father to in October. And it sucks. You know, I'm out here in Tennessee shooting a show. I'm doing the Hard Rock Casino in Atlantic City, festivals, all these things that I wish my dad was around to enjoy and to share with him. But this disease took him, And unfortunately, that's life sometimes. We have to go through these traumatic, painful experiences that the silver lining of, honestly, can bring us some invaluable lessons about life, love, and our pursuit of happiness. So if you're out there struggling, know you're not alone. We all struggle. So if you want to look for a way to give back, I'm trying to provide those outlets for those who live a busy life. You know, not all of us have time to donate our time to charity or to people. But I'll tell you one thing. You get out there and help your neighbor, your friend, or your family, it feels fucking good. It feels great. It's like a healthy heroin. I've never done heroin, so I have no business giving you advice, making an analogy about a drug I've never done. Marijuana, on the other hand, love it. Love it. Coming up on this episode of the Sharp Tongue Podcast, one of my favorite comedians, her and I run into each other once in a while. We always laugh so hard. She's got an amazing laugh, an amazing soul. She's just an all-around unicorn in this industry. You might have seen her on Chelsea Lately, Last Comic Standing. We talk about all sorts of stuff. We talk about, you know, the media needing more accountability with their stories, spreading lies and having no real true source. We talk about being broke. We talk about how important it is to reach out to someone in need, and also what it's like to age in this industry and what it takes to keep going as a performer. I hope you enjoy this Sharp Tongue Podcast episode with my friend, comedian and actress, the hilarious Fortune Feimster.
Sharp Tongue Podcast.
Beep, 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 beep.
You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty.
You might cry. You'll probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry.
I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me.
Feimster!
What's up, girl?
We're talking about how to become successful. Yeah, can someone tell us how to become successful?
What are we going to do? You just started a podcast.
I did.
And you're already over it.
I'm not. I love it. I love the content. It's all the other stuff. It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. What's
but
it called?
It's worth it. It's called Sincerely Fortune.
I love that.
Hey, thanks. I didn't want to like do a podcast. Everybody's got like, or is really good at talking to people. I'm not.
Not everybody. Yes, you are.
That's true.
Every time you and I have had a conversation, it's been delightful.
Well, we're friends. That's We've true. Known each other for a while. Okay. So I didn't want to have to rely on interviewing people.
So, you just didn't want to talk.
I didn't want to talk to anyone. Yes. So I was like, I'm going to do something where once a week I pick a topic and talk about it in like a more real way.
Like you break down like what's going on?
Yeah, like I talked about divorce, dating, like my parents' divorce.
How old were you when they divorced?
12.
I was about 9.
Yeah. And it was just like things that a lot of people have gone through. And yeah. Because, like, you know, as comedians, we make jokes. And I still make jokes in there, but I was like, I want to talk about it in a real way.
Like, yeah, like just like having
journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And through that, you find the jokes
yeah,
and the humor.
Yeah, there are jokes there. And I keep it short. It's 30 minutes.
Fortune's like in and out.
Anyway, I'm a great promoter. Check it out.
No, I think it's, you know, we were saying like we're always searching for like ways to generate new content, and it's so I'm not a like a producer when it comes to this sort of stuff. Like I don't understand technology.
Me neither.
Such a learning gap.
Oh, me neither.
I mean, they add a new filter on Instagram. I'm like, ah.
I don't know how people. I'm always like, how do they make that thing appear on their Insta story? I don't know. It's baffling to me. I don't know how I'm gonna function in the world in 10 years.
I know, right? I always think about like my mom. Does your mom, like, every time I come home, she's like, kind of need help with the face space.
My mom's at, like, such a low level of functionality.
She's like, can you set my alarm clock? I'm like, that is something you should know how to do. I mean, like, how did you? I set her alarm clock every morning.
You do?
I did. I live very far. When I was growing up.
Oh my God, she couldn't. She really couldn't
set it. And finally, before I went to college, I was like, and I should have, of course, done it 10 years earlier, but I was an enabler. I was like, I'm teaching you how to do this.
This You're is our love.
Learn.
This is a moment where you need me, and I need it every day.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up? I know.
Like, North Carolina.
And in your.
What? In your.
In your. What year? I feel like we were both in the 80s.
Yeah. I was born in
1980. I mean, I'm already
I was born in 89.
You look great.
Thank
How
you.
How do you. Like, do you think about being a woman in aging in this industry? Like, does it stress you out at all? Right?
No. I do. Someone like me thinks about it. I only think about it in terms, I'm not worried about like wrinkles and stuff. Cause clearly I'm not doing a lot to prevent anything. I think about it in terms of my current job, which is I'm a comedian and it's a fun job, but yeah. There's silly parts of it,
right,
where sometimes you're in like crazy costumes or like I'm on the road and you know you're performing in a bar to like 1 a.m. and I think sometimes like, am I gonna be doing this at when I'm 50?
Yeah.
Will I be in jeans and tennis shoes and will like people still pay to see me? Like, what is my life gonna be in 15 years, you know?
I think about that too. Like, what, you know, I remember,
will you have pink in your hair?
I mean, clearly I'm already in a midlife crisis. This, by the way, is what happens after your dad dies. You're like, what can I do to distract myself?
Yeah, pink hair. You know, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. But I remember starting out in comedy and, like, seeing a woman who was, like, I forget what the comedian's name was, but she was, like, in her late 50s doing jokes about, like, sex and stuff and, like, getting very physical with it. And I remember being jarred by it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I just, like, now I'm closer to that. And, like, are people going to be jarred by me?
Probably.
They probably are now.
Now, yeah. I'm very jarred by this comedian. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I dress now like I did when I was 16.
We both look like we're dressed going to the same party, by the way.
Does that work when we're 16?
I don't know.
Can I still wear... Someone, please tell me.
Would you want to wear that?
Yeah. I want to wear jeans and t-shirts for the rest of my life.
Me too. What about sweatpants?
I love a good sweatpant, but I wear them inside.
I had to talk myself out of wearing them today.
Yeah.
I wanted to wear them outside, but you're right. Sweatpants should stay inside, right?
I mean, for the most part.
What about the grocery store?
Coffee.
Okay.
The grocery store.
Okay.
What about a house party? I had a real doozy of an outfit.
Doozy?
Yesterday at Whole Foods. I had Uggs on. I had tight sweatpants on.
Oh, shit, girl.
And an ill-fitting shirt. Listen, I'm very happy with my station in life. I'm a working comedian.
Yeah, you're professional.
But there's a part of me that just hopes I get to a level where someone's taking a picture of me in a grocery store.
Look in your ill-fitting shirt.
Oh, my God. If people took pictures of how I present myself in public, I'd have a lot of embarrassing pictures.
Really?
There have been a couple times when I've randomly walked by an area that is heavily paparazzi'd, and they're not looking for me.
What, just across the red carpet on the Oscars?
No, like,
yeah, on accident?
You know, a red carpet. You know, like certain restaurants, like Beauty and Essex or something.
Right.
Catch. Those trendy restaurants. They're waiting for, like, the Kardashians or something. But they're like, oh, I sort of know this girl. She's on something. And they'll take a picture of me. And I won't know I'm having a picture taken. I have found those pictures, like, a year later in, like, Google search or whatever. And I'm like... I post them on Instagram because I look so bad. My face is all like turned. I look angry. My shirt's too tight. My belly's hanging out. And my fiance's like, God, can you at least put hair product in?
No, but honestly, like, what is the alternative? Like,
I don't know.
Like constantly walking with contour and looking up. Yeah, I would love to walk with contour.
Maybe just putting myself together a little, like trying.
I guess, but like even that, I feel like comes through bad. Like if you're really trying.
I'm gonna come out in a leopard print,
like just a bodysuit and heels.
You guys, I'm finally trying.
And no one takes a picture of you.
No. I'll look the best I've ever looked.
The best. You have a fan. You have someone with like a portable fan and a Beyonce moment.
No one cares.
I don't know, man. I don't know what's going to happen when we get older if we're still going to be okay on stage.
I don't know.
Let's
make all the money we can
now. I know. We got to hurry up and just
we're
save it.
Like doomsday preppers for our career.
Just shoving money in cans
just
in the basement.
Get the ham and put it in the storage building. We don't know what's happening in 10 years.
Get the ham.
The canned ham.
Have you ever eaten canned ham?
No.
Really, North Carolina?
Don't judge. Don't
my mom used to. I'm from upstate. And she used to give us.
Upstater.
Canned Vienna sausages.
Yankee.
Do you know those?
Those I've eaten in Pigs in a Blanket. Hello.
Yeah. Oh,
but
man.
Like canned ham, I haven't.
That is gross. Gross. Were you jarred by, speaking of gross, were you jarred by Jussie Smollett, the whole situation?
I don't understand it.
I don't either.
Thing. And I haven't like really put any opinions out there because every day there's a new story. Like now they're like, well, he didn't pay them 35. And I'm like, well, what?
Which is it?
What is it? Like everyone was certain 3 days ago he wrote them a check for 3,500. Now he hasn't paid them, but he offered. You know what I mean? So it's
can
like,
we just get a copy of the check and see? Can
I
we
know.
Just call a bank?
So I'm the whole thing. I hope. I don't even know what I hope. If he did what they're saying he did, it would be so mind boggling because it wasn't like he was some like. Non-working actor that needed attention. I'm like,
he's on a top show.
I'm like, you were like, top show, like 5 million Instagram followers, you're singing. People
what more do you need?
What more do you
what
need?
What more is there?
Oh, so like, I don't know. But then if it's like they did do this to him and he did not know about it, it would really suck that he's basically losing everything. Because but there's so many things that don't add up that you're like, something happened. Obviously, something shady happened.
Something shady happened. And my thought, I've had the thought of, what if the whole thing is a hoax? Even the information of it, and we're just being pulled along.
Yeah,
someone seeing how far they can they can add information.
He's going to put a YouTube video out soon of how this is like.
Him and the Chicago
police.
How
you can like manipulate.
Media and people,
who knows, that would he needs to come up with that.
I mean, they just have to like this is becoming like longer than Law and Order has been on TV.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, obviously he wasn't being truthful because he said it was two white guys and they yelled MAGA. I'm like,
but wasn't it turned out to be two Nigerians?
Yes, that's the thing. So that's when his credibility is being questioned because already that a lie.
And then what is the punishment for something like that? What do you think if it is a lie? And like, you know, you're a part of the LGBTQ community.
I sure am.
Like as a member of that and you know, somebody who I'm sure you've experienced, you know, oppression and people treating you like shit because of who you are. What do you think if he did lie? What do you think he should be punishment should be?
The punishment is beyond, you know, social reactions. It's a federal offense.
Yeah.
So who knows what will happen there? He looks like he's hired pretty big lawyers, but I mean, you know, the more significant matter is that there are a lot of people who are killed because of their sexuality or, you know, trans people or race. People are, you know, experiencing harassment.
Yep.
And so you don't want it to be a situation where now people are like, oh, well, I don't believe you now because this guy. When you're like, the facts show that it does happen and it happens a lot more than it does that people are making it up. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. And then it's just kind of like rape cases. It's
same thing.
It's the same thing. Where, and then you're like, oh, everybody's lying about being raped.
You gotta like, you know. And I don't want to be the person that presumes guilt before, you know, innocence, because that would suck to be falsely accused of something, you know. But you also want, if someone has been victimized, to be believed and heard. And stuff like this does not help.
It doesn't. I think what's going to happen, one of my projections is maybe people will stop jumping on and being like, you got to save him. We got to protect him. We got to protect her. And
It's media, though.
Let it chill for a minute.
It's social media. Once it's like,
it's wildfire.
One person tweets one thing, and then like 60,000 people retweeted it. You know, like in a matter of like,
it's gone crazy.
30 minutes. Yep. It's just because we're living in a society where everything's very immediate. Like, here's news. Boom. News. 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 Yep. This happened.
Titties. But news. No, yeah, titties. News.
News. But no one's sifted through it yet. Because it used to be back in the day, you'd get it. Something would happen in the morning. You'd hear about it at 6 p.m. in the night.
You'd have
news.
To wait for the paper
the
to
paper
come to
would
your
come
house.
Out the next day. Now it's like, this happened, this happened, this happened. But there's no one being like, hey, let's wait a second.
Let's just
to
wait.
See the facts. Everyone's just like, get it out there for these other 50 people to do.
It's just like a way to like, it also sells a lot.
Exactly.
It sells a lot of, you know, quote unquote papers. But our modern paper is a tweet now, but
it was like the elections. There was, who could tell what stories were real or not? Because, and you just, one person likes it. 20 more people like it. Suddenly it's fact.
Yeah. Just and because it, people have
liked it. Retweeted it. Oh, it's fact.
No so one's checking anything at all.
It's a tough time information-wise to it know is. The truth.
And I look back because like when things are trending, I'll read on Twitter like what's trending and I'll write like a joke and I'll draft it. Because
oh,
I'll
you'll
wait.
Say, that's good.
And I look back and honestly, 95%,
you don't
I'm
ever,
so glad
you
I
don't
didn't.
Ever
No.
I usually on something big like that, I wait a minute. And I, you know, even with Jesse, I think I had posted something, but I never jumped on the MAGA bandwagon because that part was like, I don't know if that's true.
Right.
I just know that people are hurt. Not particularly him, but I know people get hurt. People are targeted for, you know, being a minority sometimes or being a gay
whatever,
person.
Whatever, yeah.
So my thing was just like, hey, we got to look out for each other. And which is a broad statement of like, let's look, you know, things like this happen. We got to look out for each other.
We
it
do.
But I don't want to be that person that's like, see, you guys, if you know, that's where you get into trouble.
Well, people are militant about it.
Yeah.
They're like, white devils. It's like, wait, whoa, everybody just calm down.
I know.
Okay, there are a bunch of white devils out there, but not all white people are the devil.
No.
And not all gay people can be trusted.
It's the scenario for every person, every race, every gender, every sexuality, you know, it all, there are bad apples everywhere.
Yeah, there's a lot in my family.
we blame you for the white devil. But so to generalize any race, any person, you know, any group,
it just doesn't
it's
work.
A tricky, you can't do it.
You can't. It just doesn't work. You cannot generalize any group.
Yeah.
And when something like this happens, it really divides.
Except for Nazis.
You can totally generalize Nazis. Nazis are definitely, you can, all those stereotypes are true.
There's exceptions.
Did you watch the Oscars last night?
I did, yeah.
What'd you think?
I liked them.
Yeah, I thought it was entertaining.
Yeah. It made me worried, though. Now I was like, oh, I think as comedians, we're like, maybe one day I'll get to host. Probably not. But now you're like, oh, it did totally fine without a host.
Yes.
Crap, maybe there will never be a host again.
It did do totally fine. Although I did like Amy and all them together in the front. Tina, and Maya. I thought they were fun.
Yeah.
They were a lot of fun.
I was only, I liked the song in the beginning, but it made me feel like we were about to watch the Grammys, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, it's weird that this is I like the like montage in the beginning where the host is like singing a song. We're at the Oscars. I like that cheesy
kinda,
stuff.
It opens it up. It
keeps
it like glamorous in Hollywood.
And I like a little monologue, but I love those women. I was like, why didn't they just be the host?
I thought the
literally
same
all
thing.
They would have had to do was like 5 minutes more.
Yeah, that's it.
Of what they did.
Another couple. Give us a couple other sketches.
Yeah.
Give us some like comic relief.
I would have loved that.
Yeah, I would have loved it too.
But what was nice is that normally the writers for the Oscars are whoever the host hires.
Right.
So sometimes they can be a miss.
Yep.
This time the Academy just hired good writers.
They did. The writing was good. Yeah. The writing, I thought, was much better than it had been in the past couple years.
So now I would be like, all right, we can have a host. You guys can hire writers, but we're also hiring some writers. Yeah.
I really, in my mind, I want to live inside of A Star Is Born. I want to live inside that movie. So
that
just
movie?
Like, yeah, I don't know why. It's just like
where would you be in that world, her friend?
Bradley Cooper's taint.
What did you think about them, like, totally just
finger blasting?
Can I say fucking?
Yeah, say whatever you want.
They were just fucking each other like crazy.
They were. I think they wanted that moment to feel like the characters are back on stage.
Yeah.
Not Gaga and Bradley. It was
Allie
and...
Which, I've got mixed emotions about that because...
Tell me.
He's got a baby mama.
She's gross.
You're just saying that.
She's actually
jealous.
Gorgeous.
She's so gorgeous.
But she's also gross.
But I see, like, okay, you did that for the movie because it's a movie. You're playing pretend. But this is a performance.
Yeah.
You don't need to make people believe that you are those people.
Fortune, some of us are mad the movie's over. Some of us
so
are upset.
I would have been like, really? Really? You got to go up there and eye fuck her? Okay.
As Bradley's girl?
Yeah. That would be, I couldn't be his girlfriend.
I mean.
I would be like, you already did it in the movie.
Excuse me. I would have gotten up like, hello.
Yeah, this is a this is a performance at the Oscars. You're playing yourself now.
We get it. The movie's over, Bradley.
Yeah, that's how I'd have been.
I mean, he sat right next to her.
I hope he bought her a very expensive present.
He did. It was his dick in a box.
I fucked the shit.
He did.
Out of Gaga, and she did back. They
she
were just
did.
Like, oh, my God.
I know. I squirted a little.
God.
That's my
You wish you were Gaga in that moment?
I mean, not so much wish I was Gaga, because the self-tanner was on fire last night. I mean, homegirl looked like a chicken that had been overcooked.
Yeah.
But she was still gorgeous.
He was very tan, too.
He was very tan. He had that, like, dirty man living in a desert tan. He had, like that cheek that just got charred by the sun. On a, like, you know, like a binger,
well,
like a bender.
His mom was, like, looked super Jersey. I don't know where she's from.
Is she from Philadelphia?
Like, so tan. And she had like diamond sunglasses on. I'm like, she is Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Like, his mom is the 70-year-old version of Lady Gaga.
Bro.
Look at my Instagram. I posted a picture.
Really?
Yeah.
And you know, a little bit of us always kind of tries to find our parents and our loved ones. Just a little bit.
Do you think that eventually he's going to end up with Gaga, or this is all
amazing.
Just like, you know, they're just trying to get everyone's heartstrings to the soundtrack.
In my heart of hearts, it's real.
In my heart, they're totally in love.
Yeah, but then it's a good thing. It's a good device to get people to go see the movie again or to watch it in the first place.
They probably say to each other, let's go fuck the shit out of each other and get our song to number one.
They probably did.
They're business people.
They are business people at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Who's your Hollywood, like, Bradley Cooper's my guy.
Who's my Hollywood crush?
Who's your Hollywood crush?
gosh, who would be my Hollywood crush?
Or who was your crush as like a child? Like, who did you?
I loved like the sweet, like, girl next door types, like Sandra Bullock and Jennifer Aniston. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I like the sweet. I didn't like Angelina Jolie. I was like, ew, no.
She's like dead inside.
Yeah, she's just too, I don't know, gritty or something for me.
Too dirty.
Yeah. I like the sweet ones that are like helping people in movies.
Yeah, you don't want a girl who's got blood in a vial around her neck. You mean that doesn't work for you?
I was not into that. So
Jennifer Aniston, do you remember like liking Jennifer Aniston as a younger?
I just thought she was so pretty.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't like obsess over any
your
of them.
Your girl kind of has a Jen Aniston thing going on. Like,
yeah,
girl next door, pretty.
She's very pretty.
Blonde.
Mm-hmm.
She got blue eyes.
Yeah.
So you're searching for Jennifer Aniston. Is that what's happening?
I found her.
You found her. Jen Aniston, yeah, she's like 50 something. She's still looking great.
Looks great. And so does Sandra Bullock.
It's that money.
That's that money.
Yo, they got
money
rich bitch face
and genetics. They got and genetics. Really good genetics. But also,
for sure,
I know they probably take such good care of themselves. I'm sure yeah. they don't. I'm just eating whatever the. I'm like, I want a cupcake. I'm eating a cupcake. They, Jenna Randerson probably hadn't eaten a cupcake in 6 months.
No, she don't eat cupcakes, and if she does, she's going to rehab for 2 weeks yeah. afterwards.
So there's they look that way for a reason.
She probably hydrates with the tears of children from Mexico.
And smart water.
Yeah, and smart water. That's what smart water is. The tears of pure children in third world areas in the world.
Oh, she's the best, though. They're really sweet ladies.
Are they?
Yeah, I've met them.
You've worked, have you worked with, you worked with Jennifer. Jen,
yeah. I played her Uber driver.
That's right.
In an office Christmas party.
That's right.
She's awesome. She's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very much like, just, you know, how are things? How's your mom?
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. No wonder. And inside your mind, you're like, ooh, how you doing?
How you doing?
I don't know why that's your inner thought to me.
No, I don't think of her in that way now.
Right.
I think she's beautiful, but now I'm just like, oh, I really want to work with her again.
That's so cool. Like, yeah. What was your first movie that you did?
That was the first, like, blockbuster yeah. movie. I'd done, like, some indies, but mostly I've done TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you prefer one or the other? Like,
I've never gotten a chance to be like a lead in a movie, so I don't know like what or even a significant part where you're there like for 2 months.
Yeah.
I've never experienced that. I usually come in for like a couple days and leave.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
You'd
I mean,
be great as a lead. You'd be hilarious.
Well, I've sold 2 movies and I'm hoping we'll see. I sold them to Amblin. You know,
that's awesome.
Steven Spielberg's company.
Yeah.
So one is being decided on soon. And if it goes, I would be one of the leads.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
I freaked out when I saw you as the Uber driver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit. There's Fortune. And it was so funny.
Oh, thank you. It was awesome. It was so fun to do.
Did they let you roll?
They let me make up the whole thing. So that's nice when you have directors who just trust you. They're like, yeah. We know you do improv. We know you are stand up. Just do it.
Who directed that movie?
These two guys. I can't even.
We'll just figure it out. Will and Bill.
Will and
Jolly Bob.
Their last name.
Jolly Bob and Will.
God. I'm terrible with names.
It's fine.
I'm so terrible.
We're so busy. We can't think of names of directors. God.
I had booked the movies are hard. I love TV because it's more reliable.
Yeah.
And movies are hard. I booked the lead in a movie a year and a half ago. It was going to be one of 4 leads. And the director was like scouting and everything. And then the movie fell apart.
And that's the nature of this business.
Yeah. And I mean, it was going to be a big break for me, you know? And it just.
What did you do when you found out?
Died. I'm a ghost now. No. No, you just kind of. You're just like, oh, that sucks. Because you can't get too emotionally invested in any
of
it.
You can't. But there's this industry is heartbreaking.
It's hard. I one of my biggest heartbreaks was I sold my own pilot, my own story to ABC, and I shot it for with Tina Fey was the producer.
I remember that. This was like two years ago, or last
2015.
Year? Okay, yep.
And we shot it, and it was such a beautiful experience. It was so funny. Annie Potts played my mom. And it was great cast, and everyone got along. You know, we just wanted to like, I remember we said, I just want to live in this moment.
Like the way I want to live in A Star Is
you know,
Born.
Yeah.
See?
You just want to, you know, because you know, like, when you're shooting a pilot, it is a weird feeling because you're like, this could go on to be many years of
yep.
something, or it could go
Drop
away forever
dead.
And never be seen or heard of again. And it, you know, you put your blood, sweat, and tears in it for a year, and then it just disappears like it never happened.
Did you get depressed or anything after that?
I mean, I've been told no so many times.
Yeah, that's
so,
a part of this whole
know?
Thing. That's a part of the gig.
But that one did sting more than anything.
Yeah.
Maybe because it was my own story. It was called Family Fortune. And it was such a wonderful experience. And I had such a great system in place. Like, mm-hmm. the co-creator was a writer on 30 Rock. He would have assembled an amazing writer's room.
Yep.
Tina Fey was an awesome producer.
Fucking Tina Fey.
Yeah. Everything. Excuse me. Everything was set up for it to, you know,
to
have
be
the
successful.
Best shot. Yeah.
Right.
And so saying goodbye to that was, it hurt my heart for sure.
It
It's difficult.
I think it did keep me from developing for like a year. I like put my computer down. I was like, I can't. And I went on to do the Mindy project. So I got to just be an actor for a little while.
It's definitely a hard career. And a lot of the, you know, for comedians, our failures, for the most part, are witnessed on stage.
Yeah, very public knows.
On the production side, no one sees that besides people who are already in the industry. So to keep going, it is difficult sometimes, you know, to keep finding the motivation to like, all right, well, that just ripped my heart out. Let's go get my heart ripped out again.
And people have been like, I miss you on TV. I'm like, well, I was in like 8 guest stars last year.
Do you watch TV? Because I'm in everything.
And I was like, and I sold 2 movies. Like, you know, you're just like, you're like, oh, okay. Like, you're like, what else do you want from me? God.
I know. It's definitely, you know, it's a brutal, brutal industry.
Yeah.
And we're all so delicate.
But we love it. And we would never do anything else.
No, can you imagine working at a Home Depot?
No, I mean, even when I was on Chelsea Lately, I was behind a desk. And I loved working there, and I love my coworkers. But the act of sitting at a desk from 9 to 6 killed me.
Yeah, I mean, that's
killed
just
me.
That goes against everything that we are as a human.
Yeah.
It takes us out of nature.
I had to ask permission to go get a coffee, you know, around the corner.
You did?
Like,
you couldn't just go get a coffee and
ask? You'd have to be like, hey.
Who, Chelsea?
No. She didn't care.
Who the fuck did
she
you
didn't
have to
care
ask?
What we did, but there, you know, that it was run from other people, very structured. So you would have to, it was run like a corporate office.
That's fucked up.
So people would think, oh, it's, because there were, I mean, we did have like Margarita Fridays, but like, you know.
No tequila, it's just the mix.
But it was only last for an hour.
Yeah.
And then after that, you're back at your desk.
Then you're rip shit wasted. Yeah. Like, I want to keep going after that.
If, you know, even the most fun shows are still corporate.
Yeah.
They're still, like, you've got to clock in, clock out, don't be late.
How long were you on Chelsea?
I was a writer for 3 years. And, writer round table for 4 total.
That's that show like put a lot of comedians, like it made comedy cool again.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still not anything like it.
No, there isn't.
And I don't know that anyone could quite do what she did, because she assembled all these comics in a way that I don't know. It would take a certain type of person to be able to do that.
Yeah,
you know?
To wrangle all that and sort of be like the nucleus of it without stealing the show every single time. Like, she allowed people to do their thing.
To do their thing,
and sort of shine in their own way.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, this is what gave me a career.
Yeah.
I applied to that job as a writer.
Yeah.
And I didn't think in a million years I would get it. And
what was that? See, now there's a high for your career. You know, I mean, that was early on.
Yeah, I mean,
how did that feel? When did you get a call or an email, or did they send a homing pigeon to your house?
Yes, I had.
They got the job.
I submitted like with everyone. Like they got like 300 submissions, and I, you know, had not been on anything but Last Comic Standing, and I had no credits. And my manager was like, "Why don't you try?" And I'm like, "Okay," but like, you know, they're not gonna hire me. But I did. I submitted and. I didn't hear anything for a month, so you just like go on.
You set it and forget it. That's what I always say in this industry. Any work you do, you set it and forget it.
Yeah,
you go.
Forget it, because it's months went by, and then they called me in for a meeting with the producers, and that was good. And then like they were like a couple days later, they're like, all right, you're gonna meet Chelsea, but like, you know, 8 people were gonna meet Chelsea that
right.
day, and I now that I know Chelsea, I got lucky. I mean, luckily I had skills, but
Oprah says there is no such thing as luck.
Well, it was preparation meeting opportunity, as Oprah says.
Yes.
I was the first one to meet her in the group of 8 that morning.
Ooh, first impression.
Well, I know Chelsea now. She does not like to spend time doing things like that.
Right.
So I had a meeting with her. She liked me. She didn't want to meet any more people. I got the meeting. I got the job.
That was it? She didn't meet anybody else?
Well, they didn't tell me at the time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who she met or who if she went into other... I'm 100% sure she probably canceled the rest of the meetings. Because she...
What if you were the second one? You might not have gotten the gig.
Exactly. Because I had seen her on her own sitcom be like, she said, I don't want to drive over the hill. Just give the job to so-and-so.
What?
Yes. So,
that's where I'm at in my life. I don't want to go there.
It was a little bit of luck. I mean, I had prepared. I was very, you know, I had skills. I had been at the Groundlings for many years.
Right. You were working and honing
and
your
art. And
she
liked me. And I just happened to be first.
That's,
you know what,
wild.
I mean?
And that whole thing, like that, you know, that was a good gig for you.
Yeah,
for
they
all
called
those
me
comics.
And, like, offered it to me the next day. I was like, because I thought she hated me. I called my manager. I was like, I didn't get it. She stood
we
up.
Always think, don't you think
she
that so many
times?
She stood
up in the middle of my interview, like mid-sentence. And she was like, okay, thank you for coming.
She just cut you off?
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Mid-sentence was like, go, leave my office.
It was like, she stood up and said, thanks for coming. And left.
I kind of like that.
I know.
When you know what you like.
She knows what she knows. Yeah.
I've done that in dates.
She's
like,
very
okay,
specific about what
you
she
can
likes.
Go.
Yeah. She just gets a vibe, you know?
Yeah.
And they called me the next day, and I couldn't believe it because I was broke. I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills.
Wow. There's so many situations like that.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, you know, where you're like, I have until this time, and then I have no money.
Yep.
I was beyond that time.
Yeah. And there's been so many times like that where you're like, I've had those moments where I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to survive.
Yeah.
And then just a check will show up or a gig will happen. Yeah. And you're like, and it almost like, I don't like to get, fuck that. I always try. I've been telling myself to stop making apologies for how I think.
Yeah.
I believe that there are things in the universe that just sort of keep you on a path.
For 100%.
Like, there's been moments where literally traveling through airports or just, you know, our career is great and fun, and we've talked about that, but the things we have to do to keep going, like the travel, the hotel, the being away from our fiancés and our family, that is so hard and exhausting. I've had those moments, I'm sure you have, maybe, where you're just like, can I go on like this? I don't know if I can go, like, am I doing what I should be doing?
Right.
Everyone has that in their life,
yeah,
where they
course.
Doubt what they're doing.
Of course.
And I swear to you, Fortune, there's been a few times in the past, in this past year, with the wake of losing my father and then like trying to find motivation to keep going where I'm like, I can't do it. Somebody will come up to me and be like, I love you. Mm-hmm. You're one of my favorite comedians, or I listen to your podcast, or I just saw you on this. In these moments where I'm at my lowest.
For sure.
And these people or things pop up.
I believe it 100%.
And that's why it's important to just, you know, reach out and say when you feel that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everyone's been talking about it, but Brody was a reoccurring guest on Chelsea. Do you remember him coming on that show? And
I mean, he was the warm-up comedian for the first half. By the time I got there, he was not doing that.
Right.
He would do it sometimes. And then she hired him back to come do the round table.
Yes.
I mean, he's a guy everyone loves, but I have had friends in the past who've committed suicide and were the beloved person. And, you know, you just wish they knew. Like, you see all the people memorializing them now, and like, did they know that?
I thought that this morning. I was just like, it's still going.
Yeah, all these videos of people are watching and finding joy from him, and you're like, ugh.
And that's the irony
of
that.
It.
Yes,
know?
It's like they
I don't
feel
know.
Deprived.
Yeah, like people just aren't reaching out to people enough when they're here. But you know, when you add mental illness,
that's
bipolar stuff.
Yep.
You know, your brain goes to a place that where reason.
It doesn't exist anymore. And people who there's a fine line, and there's a spectrum of mental illness and depression. And when people say, you know, oh, they took their lives, that's selfish, you can't even imagine where they were at.
You don't know
you think somebody really wants to leave people in pain.
It's a very complicated,
it's very
hard,
complicated.
I don't judge anyone's path, you know, like people are doing the best they can.
Some
win and some don't, and you don't know why some are able to overcome it and others aren't, and everyone's built chemically different. And some people, you know, people can say, I would never, but you're not chemically
built. You would never.
In that way.
Exactly.
That person is. So I don't judge.
Our lives are essentially something we're building.
Yeah.
And everyone needs tools to build a life.
Yeah.
From emotional tools to tangible ones. And people with mental illness, they need an extra tool in order to know what tools to use to get through something. And sometimes those tools are missing.
And medication's complicated. Yes. Dosage is complicated.
Especially in this country.
It's all a thing that, you know, it all plays into it.
Yeah.
And it's all just, at the end of the day, like, super sad.
It is super sad. And the thing that, you know, the silver lining is seeing how loved he was. Mm-hmm. And it's such a reminder that your as a performer, mm-hmm. your art that you put out ripples through people's lives in a yeah. way sometimes you don't even see.
And most people don't see it.
Right.
There's so many comics who their whole life is putting out content to make people happy, to make people laugh, and they'll never know the reward of it, what it did to someone, you know, for someone, how it helped them through someone. Because you're just putting things out in the world right now. We don't know who's listening. We don't know what someone's going through. Someone could have...
My mom and your mom.
Our two moms are really loving this podcast. But someone could have heard you say, like, you're really struggling, and then you got a sign that you're on the right path, and they might be like, oh my God, like, that's happening to me. Like, I'm questioning my path, and that's a sign I needed, you know? Yeah. Like, you just don't know.
You never know. You never know how you're going to touch somebody's life.
But I say, you know, we're all guilty of living our lives and doing our own thing and not reaching out. When you can, if you think nice things about people or you appreciate something in someone, tell them, you know?
Yeah, like, it's so simple.
Why not?
I've started to do that more where it's just like, yeah. I'm thinking of you. I hope you're well.
Mm-hmm.
And just a few days ago, that happened and somebody was going through something.
Yeah.
And they kind of needed...
Need a little thing.
They needed yeah. a little thing. And it was just from me being like, oh, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, one of the crazy things about still reading people sharing stories about Brody and...
Yeah.
And all, like... Everybody in the industry and people even yeah. outside of our industry.
Yeah, baseball teams.
Baseball coaches yeah. and, mm-hmm. you know, producers and Dick Van Dyke mentioned him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a comedy legend.
Yeah.
Remembered meeting him and seeing him and remembered him performing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's yeah. just so, that's wild to me.
Yeah.
And some people just... Like we said, you know, they don't have what they need to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, maybe some people just want to go. What do you think about that?
I don't
that?
Know. I mean, I think if he was, I can't pretend to even know what was going on. I love Brody and know him, but I wasn't like one in his inner circle. You know, I don't know what he was going through, but I don't know. I think in the right frame of mind, I don't know that he would have wanted to
right.
go, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what where he was at.
Yeah.
Before that night, you
yeah.
know, because sometimes those, you know, things are tricky because it will turn your,
it will
turn your brain
right.
into something somewhere, go somewhere else in a matter of seconds.
Yep.
You know
it's a
mean?
Switch.
Yeah.
You're right.
So it's hard to know.
It is hard to know. And what for you, like, have you ever suffered through depression? I mean, I've suffered through depression, but
I think I've had like moments. I mean, it's not something I struggle with.
Right.
It's not been a recurring theme in my life. But I mean, there were times in my life where there was like down times
yeah.
where I'm sure I was going through depression about something. And, you know, I think when I first started touring actually, and, 2010, when I started touring, I was like, this sucks.
I did too.
It's
like,
so hard.
Did you ever walk into a hotel room and just start crying?
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
I'd call my mom and be like, what am I doing? Cause you know, people didn't know who I was.
Yep.
I was like,
in
know,
some hobo bunk,
oh, the
in some
worst,
shitty hotel.
I had no money.
Yep.
It was cold. And I'm like, by the airport hotel, and I'm just yeah. like, what? I graduated summa cum laude. What am I doing?
I'm breathing in jet fuel.
I could be in grad school. Yeah, you're just like, and I think that depressed me a little bit. And there was a part of me that's like, should I go on medication? But then I thought, no, I think I can find my way out of this.
Yeah.
But you know, some people, my mom had depression, she's needed help with medicine, you know, everyone's different. I mean, for me, like, I 95% of the time wake up happy, genuinely happy, and I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah.
But that's not to say in like 5 years I might not have a, you know, a spout of something, and it will be harder to get through that day.
I have that once a month for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. But is that your period?
It's just my period. Right? I literally have 3 days where I'm like, fuck! I just want to murder everybody. I want to eat everything.
Men have no idea.
You guys have no idea.
You have no idea.
You don't even know.
Why do I even have mine? I don't even want kids. It's not fair. Ugh. It's not, can't lesbians have a checkbox to be like, yeah, I don't want that part.
We don't need that.
I mean, some lesbians want to have kids, but I wish I at least had a choice.
Like, where
I would like to mark the box of not having my period. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Where can people find you and your podcast?
FortuneFemes.com. I'm on tour. I'm going lots of places.
Shit, girl.
When does this come out?
Right now it's live. Oh, no, just kidding. Next week?
Okay. I'm in London next week for all you UK folks at the Soho Theater. And then Kansas City, St. Louis, Tacoma.
FortuneFemster.com.
And then my podcast is Sincerely Fortune. Find it on iTunes.
Ooh, fancy.
Because you and I dug deep today.
Yeah. It's I like to dig deep a little.
Yeah.
I like to, you know, because that's where the funny lives.
That's right.
Yeah.
I dig deep on there just without interviewing anyone.
I think it's great.
I have to go really inward.
I wish Bradley would
But
go
my
inward.
Partner, Jack, she does quite a few with me.
Oh, really?
So that helps.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I learn new things every week, even about her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good, Fortune.
She's a kindergarten teacher, so this whole world is very...
That's kinky.
...new to her. Calm down.
I love you, Fortune.
I love you, Jessie Mae.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.